episode 199.
So I have three podcasts only I listen to. Dave Ramsey, an entree leader, Andy Stanley, and your show. That's it. I don't have time for anything else. These are my top three. I probably listen to your show more than theirs because I go exercise in the morning, put my earbuds in, and I plug on a couple shows for yourself. It is by far the best automotive podcast I've listened to.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hey, welcome, aftermarket professionals, to episode 199 of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast with my guest entrepreneur, Brett Beachler. I'm Carm Capriotto. And, you know, I'm fundamentally changing the behavior of how aftermarket professionals get their information, training, insights, and strategies. And we do it twice per week. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on site, and on demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, you can find this week's show notes with Brett Beachler at remarkableresults.biz/E199. You know, I'm impassioned about building a stronger aftermarket. So besides the power of the twice-a-week podcast, you now have a new source for information, the Town Hall Live Forum, every Friday at 12 noon Eastern. Go to remarkableresults.biz/townhall and sign up just once to be in the audience each week. And we also publish the show live on Facebook. Since starting January 6th, we now have an archive built on the website, and you'll be extremely impressed with the quality of these forums. You know, each week is a single subject discussed by three industry professionals. So watch the forum like a documentary and learn like a seminar. And I promise your time will be well spent. You know, I love it when you connect with me on Facebook, like Greg Bohm, Tim Stacy Dunn, and Dirk Fuchs did, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Evan Curry, Steve Hunter, Greg Smith Jr., and Luke Folsom. Hey, thanks, team. Hey, don't forget to connect with me with an idea for a show or a guest request. My email is Carm, C-A-R-M, @remarkableresults.biz, B-I-Z. Hey, please get the new app on your smart device. Now, if you want instant access to every episode, just download the Remarkable Results Radio podcast app and enjoy a whole new easy way to connect and learn with every episode. Now, meet my guest, Brett Beachler, Vice President at Beachler's Vehicle Care and Repair. This third-generation business is in Peoria, Illinois. Brett gives you an opportunity to understand the business success over the years and the direction they are headed now. He has a lot going on, from tours of their new building, his traveling lunch and learn within the business community, and his focus on maintenance as a key strategy for his future revenue growth. I love his tours idea. You know, is the industry doing enough facility tours? You may be surprised how many customers would take you up on a behind-the-scenes tour of an automotive repair facility. Now, Brent also talks about a unique program to engage new customers that's wrapped up in giving a donation to a charitable cause, and I think you'll like the idea. He talks engagement with local Votech schools, the next generation of techs, his customer follow-up system, along with his special system to manage reviews, and he'll tell you why they are the shop of second opinions. A lot more, as you've come to expect, on the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Now here we go with episode 199 and Brett Beachler. A warm welcome to Brett Beachler from Beachler's Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Carm. Greetings. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. Wow. Three generations of Beachlers.
Three generations.
Man, Grandpa Bob started?
Yes. Grandpa Bob started in 1951 on a $25 investment.
That's it?
That's it.
You see, $25 could buy you a lot in 51, I bet.
Quite a bit more than today. You are absolutely correct.
I bet you could have pumped and filled in a whole bunch of cars for 25 bucks back then. What was gas? Probably, yeah. 4 or 5 cents. No, maybe a dime.
I think it was about 11 cents.
Amazing. I bet you've got great pictures. And then your dad got involved in the business, and your dad, Terry, still works every day with you?
He still comes in every day to work.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, family business, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about legacy. And I'm so glad to have you on to talk about the legacy of your business. Now, describe this wonderful business to me. I've seen pictures of it. It's huge.
So we started at the edge of town in Peoria way back in 1951. My grandpa had a two-bay gas service station, a Standard Oil station, and operated that for about a couple decades. We basically demoed that. I shouldn't say we. He demoed that along with Standard, and then it became Amoco into a five-bay service station. And then about 5 to 6 years ago, we had the idea. We had a part of the property in the back, and we knew we needed to generate some kind of revenue with it. And we built a what we call a vehicle maintenance center. It's a mobile oil change facility, but it's a beautiful customer waiting area with kids' room and business person's room. We have the pod where customers come up to the pods. We were featured in Ratchet and Wrench back in, I think, about December of last year. So they really like the concept. I've believed in our industry for quite some time that the Taj Mahal of you, a customer coming up to a service desk, is kind of an uncomfortable position for a customer. So we switched that around.
You know, when I traveled a lot, and when I went to a hotel that had the service pods, I thought that was so unique. And the first thing that I thought of was in our industry. Now, what do your customers say about it?
You know, it's more of a body language situation than anything. I've heard some comments about, boy, this is nice to have this. But when you can stand shoulder to shoulder with a customer, as opposed to like you staring at a screen and conversing with a customer, it just, you can't believe the unspoken walls that come breaking down when you're having a conversation with them, because you become their friend, their buddy, when you're sitting there talking to them, as opposed to you come to me and I'm the advisor and I tell you what's best.
It's easier to get out behind the counter too, because there's the barrier is almost missing, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the big key. The barrier is missing, and that's what we love about it. So customers don't feel so vulnerable.
You know, there's so much I want to talk to you about. When we had our pre-call, I was so enamored about a few of the things that you're doing, including your lunch and learns and the tours. And man, I'll tell you, I think that is just phenomenal. Wait till my listener hears about this.
So the lunch and learns evolved from our car care clinic. And my dad started that probably 12 to 14 years ago, the car care clinic. And okay. It was a way to get people into our business. We teach them about cars, because the bottom line is, we all know this in our business. Our customers don't know much about cars. We know quite a bit. And I believe the onus falls upon us to teach our customers about cars. The most important reason is they can make much more informed decisions. So we had this car care clinic, and we evolved it into what we call a lunch and learn. So it's a car care clinic on wheels. I go to businesses, organizations, churches, whatever the case may be, and I bring my PowerPoint with me. It's not necessarily hands-on like you and I would go to as a car care clinic.
Right.
But it is a cool session, because it's that person's opportunity to ask questions in a very non-prohibitive way. They don't feel the pressure.
How long does it last?
I typically go for an hour. I try to keep it within the hour. I keep it super short and to the point. I go through quite a few slides, but I keep it in an open forum so people can talk to me. I mean, they want to ask questions.
What kind of magic do you see? The aha moments for them? What areas of your presentation are they just fascinated by?
There's a couple different areas. You know, one of the things that I talk to them about, and some of the guys on this radio show may or may not agree with it, but the 3,000-mile oil changes have long gone away. Unless you're driving in extreme conditions, extreme situations, yes, you need to change it. But I teach these folks that, you know, it's not necessary to do that anymore. You know, 4, 5, 6, 7,500 miles are completely acceptable between changes. The Bible really is the oil life monitor, and I explain that to people. However, I talk to them about oil levels and things like that, like don't get yourself in a trap. The second item I talk about is the expensive cars. You know, we go through a whole equation that we talk about how expensive cars are to operate. And the key is keeping that car to 250,000 miles, and you can save yourself close to $100,000 over 50 years of driving. So I lay it out on a spreadsheet, I give it to them, and it really opens their eyes like, oh, maybe I don't want to trade my car every 60,000 miles.
You mean that's an eye-popping chart?
It's an eye-popping chart, yes.
And from all of those lunch and learns, how many new customers a month do you think you get?
Oh, I don't think I get a tremendous amount. I would say I average between, and we haven't hit the lunch and learns very hard the last year or two just because I've been having to wear two hats. But this year it's going to be slated to we're going to try to hit one to two a month. And we always gain one to three new customers out of each lunch and learn.
Well,
and to me,
it's worth it.
It's totally worth my time.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And think about the businesses that you go in. I mean, is there any benefit? Do you do any fleet work?
We don't do much right now, but that's on my 2017 goal list, is acquiring more fleets.
Wow. I must have seen this strategic plan somewhere along the line.
You got a little insight.
All right. Now talk to me about tours.
Okay. This is so cool.
I mean, I love tours. I loved always giving tours to customers that ever came into my business. So tell me about yours.
Okay. So it's super simple. I essentially ask the new customers, I ask any customer really if they want tours, especially with the new facility. As a business owner, you want to show it off. I mean, I don't mean that to be self-aggrandizing, but you want to show it off. So our facility, the new facility over here, has a full basement. So most people have never seen the basement of an oil change facility. So I have taken Caterpillar engineers down in the basement that are in like ooh and awe, like, oh, that's so cool. There's a 2,000 gallon holding tank over there for that. And there's pumps over here for that. And I'm like, I'm sitting there inside going, it's really not that big of a deal, but okay, let's go. Let's roll with it. The biggest kick I get out of is taking kids down there. And all ages, there's never an unsatisfied child that goes down there. They get to meet my techs. They get to meet the people. There's a relationship built there because they know who's working on their car that day. My next level is taking them over to the other shop, because you got to understand, we've got two shops here. One houses all my light duty techs. One houses all my ASC techs. And we're not housed in the same one, the advisors and myself, as the ASC techs. So the next step is going to be taking them over there and meeting those guys.
Got it. Now, I remember going to the Disney Institute once and going underground at Disney World, and I get that point. Oh, you know, it's a whole new world for many people.
Yes, extremely valuable. I'd encourage anybody with a decent looking shop or better to do it. It is absolutely valuable. You'll never know the intrinsic value that comes from it until you see the people's eyes light up and go, I didn't know that was what a transmission flushing unit was, and I didn't. Oh, okay. Now you're putting value into what you're doing to my car.
You know, you don't have to have a basement to be able to show off all the scan tools, the technician's break room, all the computers. And
people like to meet people in general, too. And most places you don't meet the mechanic, the technician that works on your car, let's face it. And when you meet the guy who's working on your car, there's a personal connection that goes there.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So you have this van, and it's the Guru on the Go van, and it's all nicely decked out, and you drop by for lunches and learns. How do shops get a chance to get that van to come to their place?
Well, they can, of course, call into our Guru hotline and request it. They can talk to their parts distributor, you know, and through that channel, we can go out and do some training, or even with us out in the field. You know, if they see us, we do various warehouse distributor type shows, many different events. We're out there everywhere. Just come by and ask, and we'll be more than happy to come by.
Hey, Mike, if I said you were a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts, would I be right?
You betcha.
So give me an example.
I live, eat, breathe Federal Mogul on a daily basis. You know, growing up, being in the racing industry, I knew a lot about Moog. I loved Moog. Felpro, same thing. To go out and be able to talk about a company this big, this strong, it makes me happy every single day. I'm so excited to do it on a day in and day out basis.
What are technicians saying after you're done with your presentation?
When can you come back? They want more day in and day out.
They want more. And you have more to give. You've got so many key product lines in the industry.
Oh, we have a ton of product lines and a ton of training that's available, you know, with those product lines and on a technical side, too.
How dazzled are the techs to see that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot?
They come unglued. They are so excited about that because less frustrations. You know, they've been dealing with issues in the field of damaging that boot during installation, and it makes it so much easier to put in. And it's a beautiful piece.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. You mentioned a few minutes ago about maintenance and oil change. I know the philosophy of the company is that you want these cars, you want your customers' cars to go out and last, what, 250,000 miles?
250K. Yeah, all right. 250,000 miles plus.
So I'm a new customer of yours. How do you explain that to me?
The first thing we do is explain value. We explain what it takes to be able to maintain a car. We have a very simple factory maintenance sheet that we fill out for every vehicle that comes in here, explaining what you need to do, what you don't need to do. It's customized for each vehicle, of course. We don't like the template H thing for the vehicles. Really, you lay out the numbers, go, hey, you know what? It's better than a car payment. You really have people, and I don't mean that like we're taking advantage of them, but you really have people understanding when the car is paid for, and they look at a $300 or $400 repair as opposed to a $300, $400 car payment every month. That's when the rubber meets the road, is when they start understanding. It's like, oh, okay, so if I put $300 to $600 in my car every year as opposed to, you know, $2,000 or $2,500 in car payments every year, then this makes a big difference to me.
Do people understand that a car really has an ongoing cost per month, you know, and as soon as it's paid off, it's not like it's for free. There still has to be all this
Correct.
Ongoing maintenance. And your strategy with them is to show them how much savings that they would have from, you know, from having to go out and buy a new car?
Correct. Correct. I think our demographic generally understands that, but I think the population of drivers in general don't really understand that concept. I had a gentleman, oh gosh, it was 15, 17 years ago, came to us one time and he said, hey, Brett, and I was still young. He said, hey, Brett, you know what I do? I sock away $50 every month for a car. And I'm a big Dave Ramsey guy. I listen to him and his podcast. I sock away $50 every month for car repairs and maintenance. I'm like, really? And so I learned from my customer at that time going, you know, he's probably right. So since then, the number's up to about $75 a month. But if people are putting that kind of money toward repairs and maintenance, as opposed to $300 or $400 a month toward, you know, the car payments on a car, which you're still going to have a little bit of maintenance on those, I think they're going to be so far ahead of the game in their life when it comes to the financial aspect of their wallet and life savings.
You just mentioned Dave Ramsey. You listen to his podcast. Any other podcasts you listen to?
So I have three podcasts only I listen to. Dave Ramsey, an Entree Leader, Andy Stanley, and your show. That's it. I don't have time for anything else. These are my top three. I probably listen to your show more than theirs because I go exercise in the morning, put my earbuds in, and I plug on a couple shows for yourself. It is by far the best automotive podcast I've listened to.
Wow. Excuse me. My headphones are not fitting my head. Thank you, man. I'll send you a Starbucks gift card.
No,
or something.
No reason for that. You know, when you're good, right?
Thank you, man. Probably my listeners don't appreciate this, but I send a really intensive survey out to all my guests that are service professionals. And yours came back to me about the percentage of work type that you do. And this is one of the biggest numbers I've seen, 40% maintenance.
Large amount of maintenance. And it keeps shifting and shifting and shifting because we realized about 8 or 10 years ago that this business is not going to be a repair business in a heavy dose, let's say. It used to be we were heavy, 90, 95% repair business. We were not focused on maintenance. And it took a big paradigm shift, and it didn't happen over a couple months. It took many, many years to start shifting customers, their thought process, you know, their forward thinking. Don't trust me, it didn't take a few months. It took many, many years.
Are you doing the dentist appointment set with your customers to bring them back in for the next maintenance?
Almost. We set the date to call the customer to schedule them in for their next visit. I know there's a lot of successful shops at it, and kudos to them. We're just having trouble with that. Hey, we're going to schedule in for this date on July 17th, 2017, and is that going to work for you? Many people's calendars aren't out that far. Mine is, yours probably is, but most people's are not.
So it's not resistance. It's as much as I'm not really sure I want to schedule out that far.
Yes. I don't think it's a personnel resistance here. I think it's more of a, I always try to see from a customer's perspective, not necessarily mine. Because if we saw it from our perspective as owners and operators and advisors, I think we'd miss the mark every time. But I try to see it from a customer's perspective. And so far it's working quite well. We're making approximately 75 outbound calls every week in an attempt to schedule those folks in.
What if you said to me, the customer, let's try it?
I would have no problem with it. Let's try it.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's schedule out. And when I walk away from the dentist for that 6 month cleaning thing, they say, Carm, let's schedule. How is October? And I look at them and I says, I'm sure it's okay. It's so far out.
Right. And, I'm sure it's part of our paradigm shift. And I believe we're eventually going to get there. And I think that's the right way to do it. I don't think our way is the wrong way to do it, but I think you get more success at closing ratio. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So you told me on our pre-call that Dad's a cost guy. So if Dad's a cost guy, what kind of guy are you?
I'm a return on investment guy.
All right. So spreadsheets and you are friendly.
We're friendly. We like each other. I love numbers. I love numbers. My buddy Gary over in Toledo, who you know, is just, he is a master at spreadsheets. I always say I'm so blessed to have him as a friend and a colleague. And we work pretty closely as two shops. And we have Google Docs that we share, and we look at each other's advisors, and it's pretty cool concept.
So are you good with pivot tables?
Not necessarily.
Just checking.
Okay.
Okay. Just in case I needed some work done, I would have sent it to you.
Yeah. No, good.
I would have sent it to you. So philanthropy, a business that's been around since 51, you would think is extremely involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Honestly, I don't think we do enough. But one program that I started up in order to recruit new customers is essentially what I do is I mail out to three of my zip codes, my closest zip codes, people who either A, move into the area, or B, refinance their home. And I send them a postcard, and I hit them three times. And essentially, it's a complimentary oil change on us if you donate $40 or more to a local organization called the Dream Center. And the Dream Center houses a lot of homeless and a lot of women with children that don't have a home. And they do a lot more in the community, but I love giving back to that kind of stuff. That's where my heart is. And it's amazing the quality of customers that we get doing that as opposed to giving out the free oil change, which is great. I think it's a great for somebody to come in your door to get a taste of your business. But man, when you're able to do a tax deductible oil change with a business, essentially is what it is, I think there's a little more validity that goes with it. And then on top of that, I give away my book too to every new customer that contributes to this organization. So, so far so good. I did do a count after you and I talked. It was approximately about 52 customers last year with the organization we had, which is not a bad thing. But we're only mailing out about 100 per month times 3 months.
One a week.
So it's not bad.
How's the book tour going?
Book tour, we don't have a tour, but the book signing goes well. I've actually had to order another set. It is a fantastic advanced business card is what I explained to people.
Yeah.
I'm not in it to make money. It is a business card. I highly encourage anyone on this radio podcast to do your own book.
Did you self-publish?
I did through a gentleman out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
I have the cover here in front of me. Beechler's Guide to Vehicle Care and Repair. Interesting. That's the name of the business.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, the author's name. Author. Do you sign the front cover or the inside cover? Because your picture's on the front.
I sign the inside cover when customers request it. Ironically, there's a lot of people who request it, but I don't know. I'm just trying to be humble about it.
You're right about recommending service shops to write the book. And I think you may be like the fifth or the sixth entrepreneur that has self-published a book. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the challenges inside the industry today.
Okay.
What do you see? Can you give me three of them that we need to be aware of? We need to program around, we need to accept and deal with.
I think first and foremost is the technician opportunity, I want to call it. I don't want to say shortage because it's going to be a shortage. We know that. But I think a lot of shops are going to have to deal with the opportunity, the shortage. And if they don't, we're involved with Elite Business Group, Elite Coaching. And that is one of their topics all of the time. It is always addressing this technician problem that we're having. And we have to do something about it as shop owners. We can't sit back and wait for these places to do anything about it. We've got an apprentice right now. And
tell me how you solve the problem.
You have to get integrated. You have to get involved with your local automotive schools. We have a junior college here, Illinois Central College, and we are involved. One of my point men, Rick, is involved, and he's on the board over there and talks with guys not regularly, not as enough as I would like him to. But you have to have your nose in the door and meeting guys that are over there. So we kind of have a cool opportunity where we have the oil change facility, and we can get guys working part time who are in school over there, and we can test them and see if they fit our culture. And not every shop has that opportunity. So if you can do it, by all means, do it. I really think that's important.
So getting involved in the local community college, have you been involved at all in high school?
In the vocational? Yeah, actually, our high school has just started up kind of a pseudo-vocational school. So, yeah, we have one intern right now from that school.
When you say you're involved in the college, are you on their advisory board?
Yes, we're on their advisory board.
Excellent. And that's so much a big part of the change. Is to try to find the tech.
I couldn't agree more.
And be involved in the college, help them graduate a better student.
Exactly.
It's got to be way up on your list.
Exactly.
And then befriend someone and mentor them.
I think part of the problem with our industry and others also is that we think they're going to come to us, and I view employees just like I view my customers. I have two sets of customers, my employees that work with me and my customers that walk in my front door who fund our paychecks, period. It's really, business is not complicated like everybody likes to make it out to. It's really simple. You take care of that customer, you take care of your people as a leader. And I can't say I'm perfect at it. We do the best we can. But if you're not out there meeting and greeting people that are thinking about coming into the industry or that are getting educated to come in the industry, they're not going to come and see you, especially in a smaller business like ours. And we're $1.8 million shop, which I think it's okay, but it's not where I want to be. And by all means, we're not the biggest fish in the pond here. But with that being said, you got to get your brand out there. You got to get your people out there. You got to talk to the people that are at the lower echelons in terms of thinking about coming into the business. You have to. You got to start oiling and greasing things.
Is marketing a challenge for shops?
I that was the other one I was going to mention. Is I think marketing is a big challenge, and the day and age of people sitting back and people coming in your door because they know you. And yeah, we have a high referral business, especially ours. But if you're not out there working and exercising the social media, which I know there's a lot of guys that are in our world that are 50, 60, 70 years old that they don't really think they need to exercise that. Absolutely have to, because the millennials are doing that. They're not looking at paper advertising. They're not looking at the newspaper. We all know that. But it's an uncomfortable area. And I think that's the hard part with humans is we go, oh gosh, I'm not very good at that. So I really don't want to get into it. Hire somebody. Hire somebody in a split second to do it. It's a return on investment thing.
Smart move. What else are challenges?
I think the automotive technology. I do my own. It's much, much smaller streamed radio show than yours. And one of the things I really hit on, because my customers want to hear about it, is the autonomous vehicles that are coming and all the technology that's
sure.
coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my techs. We have an average tenure here of 36 years with
wow.
our techs.
Excellent.
Fantastic. But I also have 4 out of 5 of my techs that are going to be retiring in the next 3 to 7 years. So I was talking to one of them. He goes, Brett, bottom line is we're good at what we do. but we are not technology techs as what we should be. He said the next generation is going to have to go to vision. They're going to have to go to events like that to be able to polish and hone their tools in the computer world of cars that are here, and they're going to be getting even bigger.
Are you going to Vision this year?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. First year.
Good for you. Well, then,
Gary, my buddy Gary's been talking to me about it for a couple of years, and it's just making the commitment and who I'm going to take with me. So.
I have 41 of my podcast alumni that are going to be there, and you've probably heard me speak before. I'm going to have a studio there, and we're going to actually do recordings. And I'm going to do some live stuff. I'm so excited. And for the majority of my podcast alumni, the guests that have so wonderfully paid it forward and graced the show, I rarely have a chance to meet them. And
yeah, that's cool.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Something about human interaction. I don't know why. But.
Yeah, there really is. Let me ask you a question about, and I've been actually asking this recently, are there any special entrepreneur hacks out there that you would love to share?
You know, one of the big hacks, and I watch these numbers really closely, and it's nothing new. Most of the people on this podcast are probably doing it or about to be ready to be doing it. It is our customer follow-up system. Hands down, I will never abandon the ship unless the numbers were to tank completely. So a couple different aspects. All customers that visited us in the last 1 to 3 days, whether it's a new customer or a customer that spent over $100 gets contacted by us, whether it's through texting or calling. Most of them, the customers that we've developed a very strong relationship, get a text. I don't want to bother them with an infomercial on their voicemail, and then they got to go get their voicemail, and then they got to call back. I don't want to do that. And then the second way is what you already alluded to a little bit earlier in the podcast is the future calls that we make to customers. Super valuable. You got to remember our ARO is not the highest here because we have an oil change facility. So there's a lot of watering down that occurs. It's down in the 200 range. And I know shops are listening to this going, boy, those guys really stink. It's not that. We've got both the service end of it and the oil change end of it.
Wait a minute. You're a numbers guy. Would you please report back to me, once you take the oil changes out, what the real number is?
Put
two filters on that last spreadsheet and figure it out.
Yeah, we actually, Gary and I look at it every week. We look at our service numbers, and they are closer to 375. So 375.
I knew there was a real answer there.
But you got to remember, we don't, and I'm not picking on shops to do this, but we don't sell ice to an Eskimo. I'm not selling nitrogen in tires. I'm not selling fuel injection cleanings. And that's one of the things that how we build our business. I mean, we average 127 new customers every month last year in 2016. So we're doing something right to get these customers in the door.
You don't need lunch and learn then.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to diversify your recruiting process.
I'm only kidding because I love the concept, but 127 new customers, is that coming from your marketing, your social?
It comes from everywhere, but my top two are referrals and Google.
Okay.
We work Google, our SEO really hard to be able to get those results.
What's your secret on referrals?
My secret on referrals is we started with a company out of Phoenix, Review Kangaroo, and it's really cool. My customers get a super simple review via email, and if they rate me 1, 2, or 3 stars, it comes to me, and I want to deal with it. If they rate me a 4 or 5 star, then it goes to out into the Google world, the Yelp world, whoever they want to put their thing at, and they send them right out there, and then they can put the review for Beachlers on us on the social world.
Do they get anything for a nice review?
I do. Every month I pick a winner where they get a gift certificate for 1 of 3 businesses in town. Two of them have to do with food, and people love food. So who would have known?
Interesting. So out of all the great things we've talked about, what's your biggest differentiation?
You know, our biggest differentiation, I don't tell people this on the counter. People have to figure this out for themselves. We are known since 1951 as a super ethical shop. And everybody on your podcast, I'm sure, is very ethical. But in our industry, you're dealing with a lot of gray areas that people don't understand. And that's where the lunch and learns and all this teaching concept at the front counter and coming next to them side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and becoming their friend as opposed to their enemy. We are a shop of second opinions, like no tomorrow, all the time. And that's really what differentiates us, because I hear it on the street. Hey, I got this estimate from so-and-so. Oh, go to Beachlers. They'll give you the straight shot. And I guarantee there's hundreds of guys that listen to you on this podcast that are in the exact same boat as we are.
Wow. Go to Beachler's because they'll give you the straight shot.
Yeah.
You can't buy that.
You can't. You can't buy that. It takes years to develop that kind of reputation.
You mentioned teaching concept at the counter. Clarify that for me.
It's really simple. If we as advisors are not teaching people why they are replacing their platinum spark plugs, why they are doing transmission fluid exchanges or coolant exchanges, if we don't teach them why, they're never going to want to purchase from us, ever. You can't just lay it out there and go, hey, here's your factory maintenance. Let me know if you want to do it. I mean, you got to bring the horse to the water. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's so much, you know. So, Doc, why is it hurting me here?
Yeah.
I don't want to know about the pain. Tell me why.
Exactly.
I get it. Hey, are you hard on yourself?
Yeah. A little bit. I don't know. Ask my wife.
Are you unemployable?
I don't think so. I think I could do anything if I wanted to, if I went out there and did it. But truly, I have a passion for this business. I left the family business for 4 years. I got this taste in my mouth. Like, I love answering to a customer as opposed to a boss. And I love what I do. I love coming into work every day. I love coming into the business. It just makes me smile.
So you left for 4 years. Did you go to work for corporate America?
Yes, I did.
Oh, and then I bet you brought back a lot of great stuff.
I didn't think I was bringing back a lot of great stuff, but over the years, I look at it and I'm like, wow, that was really a cool experience that I got taken through. So I'm not angry about it. It was a great opportunity. I could go back tomorrow if I wanted to, but it was time to come back to the family business.
Is it ever too late to learn?
No, absolutely not.
What do you do to learn? Where are you getting your uptake?
Well, of course, your podcast.
I didn't say that for that reason, but thank you again.
No, I read a lot. Right. I think people have choices at night. You know, you got a 5 to 6 hour window to hang with your kids, you know, share time with them, read, or do you want to vegetate in front of the TV? I know we're all guilty of doing that a little
sure.
bit. I think there's a lot of time that can be wasted. And I think as a business owner, we really don't have that kind of time to sit there and watch TV for 4 or 5 hours a night. And if you are, I strongly encourage you to get in a book, whether it's leadership, whether it's history, learning history of how people did things and why they did things. I've set a goal to read 12 books this year, and I'm hoping to hit 24. But I think you have to read. You have to read. Your brain's a muscle, and you got to keep learning.
So is there any real special book genre that you love to read?
I think everybody goes through seasons.
All right.
And right now it's leadership. Okay. I mean, I look at my shelf right now and I got a lot of leadership books. Patrick Lencioni.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm getting ready to read his Jab, Jab, Right Hook. That's on my list for this year. I got a book, Personality Plus, that I'm reading. So it's just Strength Finders. It goes all over the board. I'm going to read the Toyota Way this year.
Strength Finders. Did you ever take the test?
I've yet to read the book. And then as soon as I read the book, I'm going to take the test.
Well, I've read the book and I've taken the test. And I argued about my top five strengths.
Oh, I'd probably argue too.
My top five strengths came to me, Brett. And I looked at them and I said, they don't know what they're talking about. And then I started to read in depth the goods and the bads of the strengths and how they work together as they explained to me what kind of a person I was with my strengths. And then, believe it or not, it was just before I started the podcast. And I looked at those strengths and I said, oh my, they will make me a very successful podcaster.
That's fantastic.
And so once I accepted what Strengths Finders told me, I really had an...
That's fantastic.
A monumental moment in my life. So
yeah, it's a tool. Use it. Sharpen your skills.
I get that.
You know, bottom line is I don't want to go back to school. I don't want to go get my master's degree. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to keep reading and learning and learning from other peers in the industry. And I think that's completely sufficient, if not more.
You know, where you were telling me about your DVI system. And has that really been a great component to make your company better?
So you're talking about DVI as in
digital vehicle inspection. I think you're using
digital vehicle inspection. Yes. It has been a great addition. We continue to improve it. I got two guys that are modeling or testing out the pictures, the photos that you take, and I will never go back to paper ever. And paper is nice. It's a little bit faster for my guys, but I had a customer today. One of my customer friends called up today and said, "Hey, do I need to do a rotation next time?" Pulled them up, blink, did the tread depth measurements. And I said, "No, you don't need to. Your treads are even all the way around. You're cool. Thank you. Goodbye." And that kind of data that you can access in less than 30 seconds is invaluable to me, period. And then the other idea of you turn around, and we're really big on what we call comprehensive inspections, like going to the doctor and getting a physical, that where it goes to my ASE tech, they run it through a complete inspection, give me all the results. They do a 5-page inspection sheet. They can take pictures. When I can send a customer a picture, it brings them into the game. It gives them a little bit more deciding power, decision-making power with what they're doing. Oh, yeah, that looks bad. Yeah, go ahead and do that, as opposed to me being an advisor and painting a picture, which I think you have to be a really good artist to be an advisor. But you can only paint the picture so much as an advisor. And then when pictures come in, it's just knocks it out of the park.
How powerful to have that tool at your fingertips, at the customer's fingertips. Have you ever heard the stories about swag? They say, "Hey, look what my shop does for me."
Oh, I completely concur with you. I know there are people out there that when they get a text from us, they go, "Check that out. Look at my shop. What does your shop do?" And I understand the psyche of people and what goes on, because we all like to tell stories. Give me something that I can tell a story with, because I've listened to my techs for years. They love those little stories about cars or what happened outside here, and then they can go and tell the stories. People love to tell stories, and that swag is a story as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, it's really refreshing to talk to you. Very energetic. Is the culture of the company, that up all the time?
Yeah. They do pretty well. Now guys make fun of me and my energy level, but I'm wired a certain way and I'm not ashamed of it.
And what do you do to make that? I mean, do you have a purpose, a mission, vision, values? What's the culture? How do you get the culture across to your team?
I think that's one of the most challenging things to do as business leaders is we have a lot of information inside of our heads. And I've had to work really hard at getting it out of my head. And I don't think I've got it perfected by any means, getting it out of my head and into their heads to go, okay, this is what we're looking for. Because, you know, it's like the book Good to Great. I'm sure you've read that. Until you can get that vision out of your head and into all the people that work with you, you're never going to be a successful business. I'm never going to take this to a $2.5, $3, $4 million shop until I can get everybody pushing the bus forward instead of pushing it sideways.
I was just going to ask you, how hard is it to get everyone on the bus in the right seat?
It's rather difficult. And I think there are guys that do it really well. I don't think I do it all that well, but I'm constantly learning, trying to improve that skill in myself. But I admire people that can do it really well.
I've had a blast talking to you, man. I mean, I think we could go on forever, but I'm running out of tape. No, holy kidding.
That's okay. Tape, is that really a real thing in your industry?
Not anymore. No, not anymore. But it's just so cool to say. Anything that you'd like to, last couple of words? I have a final question, but anything else that I maybe have missed?
No, I think, guys and gals that are listening on here, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, go find another, thing to do. But I think for the most part, people that listen to your podcast love what they do. I can hear it in their hearts. I can hear it in their voices. And they truly enjoy what they do. It's a fun industry.
It's a great industry. I mean, I oftentimes say our beloved automotive aftermarket, because I've been in it my whole life. It was just great to be with Brett Beachler from Beachler's Vehicle Care and Repair in Peoria, Illinois. Brett, give us some great words to live by.
Love what you do. If you're not smiling, coming into doing what you're doing every day, figure something else out. There's something out there for you. Everybody's got a purpose. And, put your best, I heard a pastor one time say he wasn't concerned about his kids' grades. He was concerned about their attitude and their effort. And that really stuck with me for years. It was probably 10, 12 years ago I heard that. And I'm like, gosh, that is so right. And his kids end up getting A's and B's, but they gave it their best attitude and effort. It wasn't all about being perfect. And I think that's the way we should view things in our businesses. Just come to work with a smile on your face. You know, look at third world countries where people are having to forage for food and walk 5 miles to get their water and see how blessed we are in our country. And that'll put a smile on my face every day. It just makes me smile knowing what we do every day.
Thank you, man, for being on.
Oh, my pleasure. It was fun.
Hey, thank you, Brad, for paying it forward and sharing your business insights and remarkable results. For more on Brett Beachler, go to the episode's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E199. Hey, and thank you for joining us. Any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. I'm sure you know by now, I'm a person who links people that need and want knowledge in a way that is easy to digest in their day-to-day life. A podcast. And that's why you're here. Hey, share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's a lot to go around. You know, it's easy. Email the episode link, share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or LinkedIn connection. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. Hey, I am thankful and grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.